2 Peter chapter 1 this morning, in your copy of the Holy Scripture, 2 Peter chapter number 1. It has been said that repetition is the mother of education. And for that reason, any good teaching method or any good model of education includes the regular review of a subject matter to aid in the learning process. When I was in college, I often prepared review sheets for myself before major exams. I would identify all of the important information from the lectures or from the textbooks, and I would arrange that information in a format that made it easy for me to review. I would create lists and tables and charts and such. And then I got the great idea to sell my review sheets in the dormitory to my desperate classmates for $1. Now you see, $20 here and $20 there, that's real money for a college student. And the instructions were simple. Take my review sheets and review and review and review, and you are guaranteed not to fail the exam or your money back. And on some occasions, I had to refund some money. Repetition is the mother of education. Parents, perhaps you can identify with this. Every parent has been exasperated at some point with their children saying, "How many times do I have to tell you?" To which the child flatly responds, "I'm sorry, I forgot." Here in the scripture passage that is open before us, the Apostle Peter intends to remind us. To remind us that those of us who have obtained like precious faith, verse number 1, to remind us of what we already know, verse number 12, lest we forget. In fact, if you're looking at the scripture before you, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12, Peter says, "I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." Look at verse 13. Peter says, "I think it is right to stir you up by reminding you." Look at verse 15. "I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things." And so this morning from 2 Peter 1, verses 12 through 15, I prepared a message titled, "Lest We Forget." Let's pause briefly for prayer before we go to God's holy word. God above, we thank you for your grace that saves us. We thank you for your grace that sanctifies us. Lord, we're so thankful for your grace in forgiving us when we did not deserve it. And so, Lord, now we ask for your grace as we study your holy word. We know that we are a forgetful people and we need regular reminders. Thank you for gracing us and giving us these reminders. And so, Lord, I pray that because of our study this morning, we might go from this place mindful of your grace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we examine our text specifically or closely this morning, allow me to summarize the text generally or broadly. 2 Peter 1, verses 12 through 15. I think Peter is trying to accomplish a few different things. First, I think that Peter is making the case in 2 Peter 1, verses 12 through 15, I think Peter is making the case for what he wrote in verses 1 through 11. In verses 1 through 11, Peter wrote of our salvation. He wrote of our sanctification. He wrote of our spiritual success. In verses 12 through 15 now, Peter is justifying the necessity of his writing verses 1 through 11 because although his readers knew those things in verses 1 through 11, they were established in those things in verses 1 through 11. Those things were so basic to the Christian life, so important to the Christian life that they needed repeating. If you missed the teaching last week from 2 Peter 1 through 11, I would encourage you to go to our church website and listen to the recording or watch the recording of my message last week because verses 1 through 11 are so fundamental and foundational to the Christian life and living. I think secondly, Peter is making it known, in verses 12 through 15, Peter is making it known that this letter is probably the final letter, his final message, his last words that he would ever write or speak to these people. And what he is writing now in this letter is of utmost importance because of all of the things that are said during one's lifetime. The things that are said at the end of one's lifetime, those final words are so important. Those words that are spoken near the end of one's life communicate what is most important to that one in one's life after all. And so I think Peter is making the case for what he wrote in verses 1 through 11. I think that Peter is making it known that these are his final words. And then thirdly, I think Peter is warning us that what he is about to tell us isn't anything new. There will be nothing new that Peter will say in the future that hasn't already been said. Looking forward, there was nothing new or novel that he would write. Anything that Peter was going to say to them, he has already said to them what they already knew. And so in summary, I've written this at the top of your notes. In 2 Peter 1, verses 12 through 15, Peter is saying, I'm going to tell you the truth again and again. I'm going to repeat what I've said. I'm going to remind you of what you know, lest you forget and falter in the faith when false teachers confront you in the future. And we might break it down like this. My outline this morning is so simple. Number one, Peter is saying, remember what I told you before. Remember what I told you before. And in verse number 12, he cites these things. Look at verse number 12, 2 Peter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. These things is the present truth of what Peter has written of in verses 1 through 11. The present truth is the truth of salvation and sanctification and spiritual success. Now, I don't intend to re-preach my message from last week, but let me review for you what Peter wrote in verses 1 through 11 by restating what I wrote in your notes last week, and I've copied it for you there this morning. Many believers stumble along through their Christian lives with uncertainty about their salvation because of unfruitfulness in their sanctification. Stop there. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pastor, I don't feel saved. I don't look saved. There's nothing in my life that assures me that I've ever truly been born again. Unfortunately, folks, that is not uncommon for professing believers to doubt their salvation. Peter explains one reason that may be the case, that is if one is not added to their faith. 2 Peter 1, verse number 5. However, I've written, because of the salvation detailed in verses 1 through 4, there can be sanctification or spiritual growth as demanded in verses 5 through 8. Which produces spiritual success or fruitfulness, as described in verses 9 through 11. What does that mean? What has Peter written before? He is telling us that for those who have obtained like precious faith, verse number 1, that's us, we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness by his divine power, verse number 3. We have been given precious promises, verse number 4. Therefore, because of this, for this very reason, verse number 5, we must add to our faith so that we will not be barren nor unfruitful, verse number 8, in our Christian life. Peter is now saying, review these things, remember these things, for if you do, you will never stumble, verse number 10. It's Bible commentator Thomas Schreiner who says this, believers know the gospel, and yet they must, in a sense, relearn it every day. Milton Vincent wrote a helpful little book titled A Gospel Primer. If you'd like a copy of that little pamphlet, you can check with the church office. We'd be happy to give you one. But he says that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Now, don't be insulted by that. Don't be annoyed by that, but rather recognize that for all of redemptive history, God's people have been prone to forget. And so all through the pages of Scripture, there's an appeal for God's people to remember God's redemption and the benefits of it. If we were to go to the Old Testament, it was Moses who told Israel in Deuteronomy, remember well what the Lord your God did, Deuteronomy 7. The prophet Isaiah charged Israel, saying, you have forgotten the God of your salvation and the rock of your refuge. Psalm 88, verse 12, the psalmist calls Israel the land of forgetfulness. If we turn to the pages of the New Testament, Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15, "Remember the word which I have spoken to you." It was the Apostle Paul who said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus." Jude wrote, "Remember the words that were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jude says, "I will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this." And the bottom line is that we are prone to forget, and many times our crisis of Christian faith is a consequence of forgetting what we've been told before. The present truth, those things, the present truth in 2 Peter 1, verse number 12. Now this morning I speak to an audience of professing believers who know and are established in the present truth, verse number 12. For years and years and years in this place, you have been well taught. From the children's Sunday school class to the adult Bible fellowship classes to Twin Cities Bible Institute to Central Seminary and even this very pulpit where men have rightly divided the word of truth, collectively, we, the believers that assemble as Fourth Baptist Church, are established in the present truth, yet we need to be reminded of these things again and again, lest we forget. Look at verses 13 and 14. Peter says, "Yes, I think it's right. As long as I am in this tent, in this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Peter says, number one, remember what I told you before, verses 1 through 11. And secondly, Peter says, remember what I am telling you now. Remember what I am telling you now in verses 13 and 14. Peter wrote this letter at this time because he knew that he was destined to die in a short time. For you see, Jesus had told him as much in John chapter 21. In John 21, Jesus said to Peter, "When you were younger, Peter, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gather you, gird you, and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And historic tradition records that Peter did die by crucifixion. In fact, in his work titled Ecclesiastical History, Eusebius reports that Peter asked to be crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord Jesus. And so as I mused upon this past week in my study, I thought of Jesus' words to Peter and Peter's lifelong awareness that he would die by crucifixion. And I thought of the fact that Peter may have been the only one in church history who was not looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ to rapture the church away because Peter knew that he was destined to die. Jesus told him so. But evidently that was okay with Peter. Turn quickly with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, we read of the account of Peter's imprisonment after the martyrdom of James, the brother of John. And I'd simply like to read this brief narrative for you as we reflect on the prospect of Peter dying. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse number 1. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover," after the days of unleavened bread. Verse number 5, "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping." He was sleeping. bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals," and so he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." Now, there is no doubt that Peter's imprisonment in Acts chapter 12 was in preparation for his death. Yet Peter was able to sleep. In fact, he slept so soundly that the angel had to kick him in the gut to wake him up, to poke him in the side, to arouse him. And whereas Peter was once upon a time a fearful man, remember, Peter denied Jesus three times in the course of one night because he feared that he would meet the same fate as Jesus. Here in Acts 12, Peter is now able to sleep soundly, resting, trusting in the sovereignty of God in his life and in his death. And folks, that's a very unique way to live. That is something my mother lived with for the last year and a half as we cared for her in our home. There was no doubt in her mind that she was preparing to die. The tests and the scans were very, very clear. They told the story. She had stage 4 terminal cancer pervasive through her entire body. Days before she passed away, she gathered our family into her room around her bed, and she had a message for each of us that she had prepared, some final thoughts of challenge and blessing. But nothing she said to us was new. In fact, it was the same old, what she had always told us before. Love the Lord, live for the Lord, care for one another. But what she said in that moment was more meaningful in that moment because it was one of her final moments, you see. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter is writing in his final moments. And what Peter is writing to these believers is nothing new, but it's now. Now being those final moments, now being the end. Remember what I am telling you now, Peter says, because now is the end of my life. I am in this tent, but I must shortly put off my tent. I will soon die. So remember what I'm telling you now. It was the Puritan pastor Richard Baxter who once wrote, "I preach as never sure to preach again as a dying man to dying men." That was Peter's sense of urgency and intensity. Remember what I am telling you now, because this is the last time I can tell you these things. Remember what I told you before. Remember what I'm telling you now. Look at verse 15, 2 Peter 1, verse number 15. "Moreover, I will be careful," Peter says, "to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." I think Peter is saying this, number three. Peter is saying, remember what I will tell you later. Remember what I will tell you later. Now, how will Peter tell them anything later after he's dead and gone? Some think that Peter is referring to his aid in preparing the Gospel of Mark. There is some reason to believe that Peter was a primary source for the material in the Gospel of Mark. Others think that Peter is referring to his preparation of Silas and Mark to carry on his work after Peter died. Peter's successors would maintain his message and repeat his message. I think that the simplest and the most logical conclusion is that Peter is referring to this very letter, 2 Peter. And because God inspired and preserved this letter for us, it's a message that keeps on speaking long after Peter has passed. And what Peter would tell his readers later is the very same thing that he had told them before and that he was telling them now in these final moments before his death. And those things are this present truth, lest they forget and falter in the faith when false teachers confront them in the future. This truth, this present truth. In the city of Jerusalem, there is a place called Yad Vashem. And that place, Yad Vashem, the name is taken from the words of Isaiah. Isaiah 56, verses 4 and 5 says, "Thus says the Lord, to those who keep my Sabbaths, to those who choose what pleases me, to those who hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give a Yad Vashem." It's the Hebrew meaning a place and a name. Yad Vashem in Jerusalem is a place where the names of 6 million Jews who were killed in the Holocaust are recorded and preserved. Yad Vashem is home to the Holocaust History Museum, where visitors can learn the truth about the horrific and inhumane treatment of the Nazi regime against the Jewish people. And when you go through that museum in somewhat stunned silence because of the images that you see and the things, that the information that you read, they offer you a memorial pin for your lapel that is it's an olive branch growing out of barbed wire. And the inscription on that pin calls everyone to remember. School children in Israel evidently go to Yad Vashem every year, and they're taken through that museum to watch and to listen to and to learn of all of the things that occurred against their people in the Holocaust, and they are told to never, never forget. However, greater than remembering the people of Israel is remembering the God of Israel. In Deuteronomy 6, God instructed Israel. God said, "I am Yahweh. I am one. I am your God." And he said to Israel, "Don't forget. Talk about me when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware. Beware lest you forget the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Beware lest you forget about your redemption, Israel. Beware lest you forget the bondage that you were once in." And folks, we are not Israel. We are the New Testament church. However, we too, like Israel, are prone to forget. And we must not forget the things that God has done for us in saving us from our sin by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse number 1. We must not forget that we have been cleansed from our old sin. Chapter 1, verse number 9. And although we know this present truth, and although we are established in this present truth, we need to be reminded over and over and over again. Peter says, "I'm going to tell you what I told you before. I want you to remember what I'm going to tell you now. And I want you to remember what I'm going to tell you later. Don't forget, because, as this letter will reveal, false teachers will come in among us," chapter 2. "Scoffers will come in among us," chapter number 3. "And your Christian faith will falter because you forget," verses 1 through 15. Fourth Baptist Church, you know this present truth. You are well established in it. But with the Apostle Peter, may I call us to not forget, but always remember the Lord who saved us from our sin. Let's pray. God above, I thank you so much for these final words from the Apostle Peter. And God, I would ask that you would help us as a people group to not forget, but always remember the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin, the everlasting life. God, may we never weary of hearing that old, old story, but may we preach the gospel to ourselves every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.